Maybe the repetition was for those who had trouble remembering. He wasn't going to be one of those people. Not this time. A shadow fell into the room. Donald looked up to see the Thaw Man in the doorway. He gripped the meal tray to keep it from sliding off his knees. The Thaw Man nodded to Dr. Sneed, but this was not their names. Thurman, Donald told himself. Senator Thurman. He knew this.
Do you have a moment?
Thurman asked the doctor.
Of course.
Sneed grabbed his bag and stepped outside. The door clicked shut, leaving Donald alone with his soup. He took quiet spoonfuls, trying to make anything of the murmurs on the other side of the door. Thurman, he reminded himself again, and not a senator. Senator of what? Those days were gone. Donald had drawn the plans. The report stood tented on the dresser, returned to its spot. Donald took a bite of bread and remembered the floors he'd laid out. Those floors were now real. They existed. People lived inside them, raising their children, laughing, having fights, singing in the shower, burying their dead. A few minutes passed before the knob tilted and the door swung inward. The Thaw Man entered the room alone. He pressed the door shut and frowned at Donald.
How are you feeling?
The spoon clacked against the rim of the bowl. Donald set the utensil down and gripped the tray with both hands to keep them from shaking, to keep them from forming fists.
You know,
Donald hissed, teeth clenched together.
You know what we did.
Thurman showed his palms.
We did what had to be done.
No, don't give me that.
Donald shook his head. The water in the glass trembled as if something dangerous approached.
The world... We saved it.
That's not true.
Donald's voice cracked. He tried to remember.
There is no world anymore.
He recalled the view from the top, from the cafeteria. He remembered the hills, a dull brown, the sky full of menacing clouds.
We ended it. We killed everyone.
They were already dead,
Thurman said.
We all were. Everyone dies, son. The only thing that matters is stop.
Donald waved the words away as if they were buzzing things that could bite him.
There's no justifying this.
He felt spittle form on his lips, wiped it away with his sleeve. The tray on his lap slid dangerously and Thurman moved quickly, quicker than one would expect of a man his age, to catch it. He placed what was left of the meal on the bedside table, and up close, Donald could see that he had gotten older. The wrinkles were deeper, the skin hanging from the bones. He wondered how much time Thurman had spent awake while Donald had slept.
I killed a lot of men in the war, Thurman said, looking down at the tray of half-eaten food.
Donald found himself focused on the old man's neck. He closed his hands together to keep them still. This sudden admission about killing made it seem as if Thurman could read Donald's mind, as though this was some kind of a warning for him to stay his murderous plans. Thurman turned to the dresser and picked up the folded report. He opened it, and Donald caught sight of the pale blue smudges, his ice-tinged tears from earlier.
Some say... Killing gets easier the longer you're at it, he said.
And he sounded sad, not threatening. Donald looked down at his own knees and saw that they were bouncing. He forced his heels against the carpet and tried to pin them there.
For me, it only got worse.
There was a man in Iran.
The entire goddamn planet! Donald whispered, stressing each word. This was what he said, but all he could think about was his wife, Helen, pulled down the wrong hill, everything that had ever existed crumbling to ruin.
We killed
Everyone.
The senator took in a deep breath and held it a moment.
I told you, he said. They were already dead.
Donald's knees began bouncing again. There was no controlling it. Thurman studied the report, seemed unsure of something. The paper faintly shook, but maybe it was the overhead vent blowing, which also stirred his hair.
We were outside of Kashmir, Thurman said. This was toward the end of the war, when we were getting our butts kicked and telling the world we were winning. I had a corporal in my squad, our team medic, James Hannigan. Young, always cracking jokes, but serious when he needed to be. Kind of guy everyone likes. The hardest kind to lose.
Thurman shook his head. He stared off into the distance. The vent and the ceiling quieted, but the report continued to quiver.
I killed a lot of men during the war, but only once to really save a life. The rest, you never knew what you were doing when you pulled the trigger. Maybe the guy you take out is never going to find his own target, never hurt a soul. Maybe he's going to be one of the thousands who drop their rifles and blend in with the civvies, go back to their families, open a Kazava stand near the embassy and talk basketball with the troops stationed outside. A good man. You never knew. You're killing these men, and you never knew if you were doing it for a good reason or not.
How many billions? Donald swallowed. He slid to the edge of the bed and reached toward the tray. Thurman knew what he was after and passed the glass of water, half empty. He continued to ignore Donald's complaints.
Hannigan got hit with shrapnel outside of Kashmir. If we could get him to a medic, it was the kind of wound you survived, the kind you lift your shirt in a bar and show off the scars one day. But he couldn't walk, and was too hot to send in an airlift. Our squad was hemmed in and would need to fight our way out. I didn't think we could get to a safe LZ in time to save him. But what I knew, because I'd seen it too many damn times before, is that two or three of my men would die trying to get him out. That's what happens when you're lugging a soldier instead of a rifle.
Thurman pressed his sleeve to his forehead.
I'd seen it before.
You left him behind, Donald said, seeing where this was going. He took a sip of water. The surface was agitated.
No, I killed him.
Thurman stared at the foot of the bed. He stared at nothing.
The enemy wouldn't have let him die. Not there, not like that. They would have patched him up so they could catch it on film. They would have stitched up his belly so they could open his throat.
He turned to Donald.
I had to make a decision, and I had to make it fast. And the longer I've lived with it, the more I've come to agree with what I did. We lost one man that day. I saved two or three others.
Donald shook his head. That's not the same as what we... what you...
It's precisely the same. Do you remember, Safed, what the media called the outbreak?
Donald remembered Safed, an Israeli town near Nazareth, near Syria, the deadliest WMD strike of the war.
He nodded. The rest of the world would have looked just like that, just like Safed.
Thurman snapped his fingers.
10 billion lights go out all at once. We were already infected, son. It was just a matter of triggering it. Safed was like a beta test.
Donald shook his head.
I don't believe you. Why would anyone do that?
Thurman frowned.
Don't be naive, son. This life means nothing to some. You put a switch in front of 10 billion people... a switch that kills every one of us the moment you hit it, and you'd have thousands of hands racing to be the one. Tens of thousands. It would only be a matter of time. And that switch existed.
No.
Donald flashed back to the first conversation he'd ever had with the senator as a member of Congress after winning office the first time. It had felt like this, the lies and the truth intermingling and shielding one another.
You'll never convince me, he said. You'll have to drug me or kill me. You'll never convince me.
Thurman nodded as if he agreed. Drugging you doesn't work. I've read up on your first shift. There's a small percentage of people with some kind of resistance. We'd love to know why.
Donald could only laugh. He settled against the wall behind the cot and nestled into the darkness the top bunk provided.
Maybe I've seen too much to forget, he said. No, I don't think so.
Thurman lowered his head so he could still make eye contact. Donald took a sip of water, both hands wrapped around the glass.
The more you see, the worse the trauma is, the better the medication works. It makes it easier to forget, except for some people, which is why we took a sample.
Donald glanced down at his arm. A small square of gauze had been taped over the spot of blood left by the doctor's needle. He felt a caustic mix of helplessness and fear well up inside him.
You woke me to take my blood?
Not exactly.
Thurman hesitated.
Your resistance to the meds is something I'm curious about, but the reason you're awake is because I was asked to wake you.
We are losing silos. I thought that was the plan.
Donald spat. Losing silos.
I thought that was what you wanted.
He remembered crossing Silo 12 out with red ink, all those many lives lost. They had accounted for this. Silos were expendable. That's what he'd been told.
Thurman shook his head. Whatever's happening out there, we need to understand it. And there's someone here who thinks you may have stumbled onto the answer. We have a few questions for you, and then we can put you back under.
Back under. So, he wasn't going to be out for long. They'd only woken him to take his blood and to peer into his mind, and would then put him back to sleep.
Donald rubbed his arms, which felt thin and atrophied.
He was dying in that pod, only more slowly than he would like.
We need to know what you remember about this report.
Thurman held it out. Donald waved the thing away.
I already looked it over, he said.
He didn't want to see it again. He could close his eyes and see the desperate people spilling out onto the dusty land, the people that he had ordered dead.
We have other medications that might ease the... No. No more drugs.
Donald crossed his wrists and spread his arms out, slicing the air with both hands.
Look, I don't have a resistance to your drugs.
The truth. He was sick of the lies.
There's no mystery. I just stopped taking the pills.
It felt good to admit it. What were they going to do anyway? Put him back to sleep? He took another sip of water while he let the confession sink in. He swallowed.
I kept them in my gums and spat them out later. It's as simple as that. Probably the case with anyone else remembering, like Hal or Carlton or whatever his name was.
Thurman regarded him coolly. He tapped the report against his open palm, seeming to digest this.
We know you stopped taking the pills.
He finally said.
And when?
Donald shrugged.
Mystery solved, then.
He finished his water and put the empty glass back on the tray.
The drugs you have a resistance to are not in the pills, Donnie. The reason people stop taking the pills is because they begin to remember, not the other way around.
Donald studied Thurman, disbelieving.
Your urine changes color when you stop taking them. You develop sores on your gums when you hide them. These are the signs we look for.
What?
There are no drugs in the pills, Donnie.
I don't believe you.
We medicate everyone. There are those of us who are immune, but you shouldn't be.
Bullshit! I remember. The pills made me woozy. As soon as I stopped taking them, I got better.
Thurman tilted his head to the side. The reason you stopped taking them was because you were... I won't say getting better. It was because the fear had begun leaking through.
Donnie, the medication is in the water.
He waved at the empty glass on the tray. Donald followed the gesture,